centre and coming in as Loeb. Milledyke centered it.
Is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, it is Thursday, September 5th, as we welcome you to this hour of Flames Talk with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. It's Steinberg along with you on the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Save. Save 40% on a Halo Smart Lock and start unlocking your house right from your phone. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. Well, we are just over a week away from Game 1 of the Young Stars Classic at the South Okanagan Event Center in Penticton, British Columbia. First game will involve the Calgary Flames. That is just over a week away.
Will you be there?
Flames Talk will be on location in Penticton. Looking forward to that for a second consecutive year. Training camp is just around the corner. We're what? Few days away from the annual golf tournament. We're, what, I would say 2 weeks today on this Thursday would be day one on the ice, just based on how it usually goes.
Yeah.
Fitness testing usually on the Wednesday.
Yep.
And camps on Thursday.
That sounds accurate.
Or on the ice on Thursday, rather. So we're starting to see guys filter into the city. We're starting to see guys return to Calgary, so on and so forth. And not all the position groups are here, but as they're doing those captain skates right now to get ready, there is one position group that's fully here, and that is the goaltending group. Dan Vladar, Dustin Wolf, Devin Cooley, the three guys that we are expecting to be part of the NHL goaltending conversation all year are all here, all on the ice. Just realized when I was getting ready earlier on this Thursday that all three guys' first names start with D. Didn't even know this. No, hadn't even clued into that until I was right. Oh, Dan, Dustin, and Devin are all here. They're here.
And they,
you can't get anything by me, eh?
They say it's going to be tough to fill off-season hours on Flames Talk.
See?
No.
You can't.
We have fun with words with Pat.
No sieve over here. I'm a steel trap. They know there's a battle on their hands. Hey, they know that nothing is certain. It's pretty clear these guys are here, and they know they've got a real battle on their hands entering training camp and probably throughout the entire season.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't been out to any of the captains' skates this week. I think especially in light of what the hockey world's going through, everyone's gonna give them some space. And that being said, you know, we can sort of judge who's in town by who we saw at the vigil last night. And I don't think it's a coincidence that all the goalies are here. I think every one of those three guys, for a variety of reasons, is going into the most important training camp of his professional career. I think that Dan Vladar is looking at an opportunity to not just prove he can bounce back from hip surgery, but to sort of prove that the hip was holding him back. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Dan Vladar has to look at this camp as a opportunity to say, hey, I'm a better goalie than maybe you've seen so far in Calgary. You know, obviously it doesn't require much explanation why this is such an important camp for Dustin Wolf. He does remain waiver exempt. He is on a two-way contract. There's an opportunity for the Flames to send him back for more, whether he needs it or not.
Yeah, soap.
for more seasoning with the Wranglers, and it's time for him to prove without a shadow of a doubt that he belongs as a full-time NHLer. I think he started to do that at the end of last season, but it's a fresh slate going into camp. And then, you know, Devin Cooley just got his first NHL opportunity, a bit of a late bloomer, a guy who had, a fairly, I don't know if it would be a large stack of offers as much as, you know, a large amount of teams that showed some interest in him as a free agent in a variety of roles, and sees an opportunity here in Calgary. And this is a this is an important chance for him to carry on the momentum that he feels like he gained in his first taste of the NHL at the end of last season with San Jose.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I know that I don't have a full-on feel how this is going to play itself out. I don't know very many. I don't even know if the Flames, like, if you were to talk candidly with Jason LaBarbera or Jordan Sigalet about how this plays out, I don't think they know right now. It's tough to get a real handle on how everything works itself out here with all the unknowns, because there are so many unknowns. There are so many quote unquote X factors, like you mentioned the hip,
right?
Or the workload for Dustin Wolf, the motivation and the opportunity for Cooley, and the fact that I don't know if at this point we really have a good grasp on exactly what Devin Cooley is as a goaltender. And so all of these things and all of these unknowns, I think, makes it very, very difficult to handicap how this does play out. Not just in training camp. I feel like I've got a better grasp as how training camp might play itself out and how the roster might look for the start of the regular season. But what I do not have a good feel on is how this works itself out as the season plays out and how that story evolves. Like, I'd be willing to put pretty good money on Devin Cooley starting with the Wranglers and Wolf Vladar being the two NHL goalies to start the year. I feel decently confident that's how training camp works itself out, mm-hmm. just based on contracts and chair time and time in the organization, all of that. But then as the season plays itself out, I don't know how Dan's hip is going to respond. And I don't know how Dustin Wolf is going to respond to his first ever high NHL workload, relatively speaking. So then how does Devin Cooley play into that conversation mm-hmm. if either of those things don't go the desired way? That's the biggest unknown for me.
And keeping in mind that we do not anticipate the 24-25 Flames to be shot suppression machines.
Also true.
These goalies are going to face some rubber. I think what makes camp and let's even call it the first half of the season sort of fascinating from a net mining perspective is, you know, you and I have covered this team long enough that we've seen, you know, training camp battles at that position before, but never for two spots, right? Like, we all remember the disaster it was when they decided they were going to carry three goalies in Hiller, Ramo, and Joni Ortio. And that was because Joni Ortio, they were worried about putting him on waivers.
Losing him.
It was never a possibility that they were going to send one of the other two guys to the minors, right? There was so it wasn't necessarily like, oh, you know, they're competing for all these spots. It was more just, what are they going to do with Joni Ortio? How are they going to manage this? Can they find a trade partner? When you talk about not having a great sense of how this is ultimately going to play out, you could put all three guys in the 1-2-3 spot and not necessarily be wrong in the end. Like, I do think this is that wide open, and there's going to be people listening on their drive home or on the pod saying, no chance does Devin Cooley become the starter in Calgary. I don't think it's a high likelihood, but I'm here to tell you it's not a no chance scenario. Mm-hmm. If he outplays these other two guys over time, absolutely, that's what's going to happen. And I think that's what makes it interesting for me is you've really got three guys and no sort of allotment of slots going into training camp. And I'm going to be really curious by how it plays out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really, when I think about the different permutations that we might see over the course of 82 NHL games, I could see any number of things happen. Because the other thing is injuries. Again, who knows what the maintenance situation looks like for a guy like Dan, and does that hip need some time off? Will he need to maybe have a week off or a few games off here and there?
Right.
I don't know. And so then all of a sudden there's an opening for a guy like Devin Cooley to come in. And if he does and plays well, well, the Flames are very much looking at this position, every position, as meritocracy, right? So how does that work itself out? I think you're bang on. Mm-hmm. There's any number of those permutations are realistic too. There's, you know, maybe differing probabilities or different odds, but they're all very much realistic in terms of how this plays out. Even the wash your mouth out with soap idea of Dustin Wolf being sent down to the American
League. Right.
That's not out of the question. As much as Wolf doesn't want that, the Flames don't want that, fans don't want that, it's not an unrealistic circumstance.
I think everyone who listens to Flames talk has a pretty good sense of where I stand on the does Dustin Wolf need more time in the minors discussion. But let me sort of throw a I don't know if it's a scenario, but let me ask you this. You said earlier you fully anticipate Devin Cooley will start the season in the minors. Now, what happens if injuries maybe continue to be a problem in Vancouver? Maybe there's an injury elsewhere in the league. You know there was interest in Devin Cooley around the league as a free agent. Do you have any concern? And understanding this is a premature discussion, it's going to be based on what we see in exhibition, but do you have any concern about trying to get Devin Cooley to the minors? And could you possibly contemplate, because you know how I feel, sending Wolf instead just to not lose one of your three goalies?
Right, because you're all of a sudden, it's like, oh, geez, is Vancouver going to snag Cooley off of waivers? Yeah, I mean, as much as you don't want to do that, and I think the Flames would have to do some public messaging to make it so that, you know, people don't lose their minds over it. But
like me,
I'm talking about even more emotional people. And let me tell you, Wes is an emotional guy. Yeah, I don't think that's out of the question.
Yeah.
You know, you also bring that, like, what if Dan Vladar's hip responds exactly? Just talking to a couple people, apparently he's looked great in these skates.
Yeah, like, there's some excitement there.
I even talking to some people about how excited Dan is about how he has responded and his hip has responded to all of this. So what if, you know, last year, for instance, Tampa Bay lost Vasilevsky for a good chunk of time, and immediately people started to talk, well, they're going to Vladar, Markstrom, right? What if that happens, or inevitably it will happen somewhere?
Oh, we're not going back on the Markstrom trade rumors, are we?
No, we can't. That is impossible. Unrealistic. Whew, the Flames will trade Jacob Markstrom this season, because I believe they already have. But like, all of a sudden, Wolf's playing well. Cooley's having a good year in the American League.
Yeah.
Vladar's hip has responded. Team loses a goaltender for a long period of time. Like, hey, we still believe we want to make the playoffs. We're interested in Dan Vladar, right? Similar to Toronto acquiring David Riddick. A couple years ago, the trade deadline was Toronto, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They went out and they got Riddick at the deadline. And, you know, I know it hasn't gone the way that Dave and a lot of people thought it might since leaving Calgary, but they go out and, hey, we think Dan Vladar would be a really good fit here. Maybe you can turn that into something. Then all of a sudden you're talking about a Wolf-Cooley tandem in January or December. Again, all of these things seem far more realistic than past goaltending conversations we've had, whether it be with Markstrom and Riddick, or Smith and Riddick, or Ortio, Hiller, and Ramo. There was the Brian Elliott, Chad Johnson year. All of the different conversations we had then.
I just blocked out that last year you mentioned.
The Elliott,
the Elliott Johnson combo.
Chad Johnson was such a nice is such a nice dude.
Yeah.
But all of these things seem like they could very well come to pass, you know?
Yeah. No, I think they're, you know, going back to the start of the Markstrom trade discussions, we might have to consider rebranding the show Goalie Talk at some point.
I mean, it's been that way for quite some time.
It kind of feels that way.
If we're being honest. It feels like Goalie Talk has been what this has been. This hour, definitely Goalie Talk, because Kevin Woodley is just minutes away.
Yeah.
And but yeah,
it's going to continue to be interesting, because you've got, I think you've got three intriguing options. Obviously, you've got a top prospect in Wolf. You've got a guy in Dan Vladar coming off an injury who has been highly touted previously in his career, who at times has shown some really impressive flashes, just maybe not in a long enough stretch at the NHL level. And then you've got a guy in Cooley that, you know, the more you hear the Flames goaltending staff talk about him, the more excited you get to see, you know, what that might look like. So you've got three guys that are absolutely intriguing, and yet you don't have a sure thing, right? This could go one of three ways. You know, the sort of scenario that you were unfolding is Wolf's playing well and Cooley's playing well, and you know, maybe Vladar's playing so well that there's even a trade offer for him. Well, the other scenario is that these three guys don't come storming out of the gates, and then we're having another discussion. Mm-hmm. Do they have the answer, or do you throw out what's happening behind an inexperienced defense? What does the future of the goaltending position look like? Like this conversation could really go two separate ways, yep, couldn't it?
Sure could. Two could go 11 different ways, yeah. Honestly. A couple of texts. This says, Pat, thank you for using the word permutations. You had a good grade 12 math teacher. Not combinations. Well done. Interesting fact, did not do math in grade 12. I got a pass on math in grade 12. I finished math 30, pure math 30 at John G. Diefenbaker in grade 11. So I did not have to do math in grade 12.
Nerd alert.
Nerd! Oh, yeah. High school me. IB for the first
year and a
half. You
just skipped grade 12 math.
Yeah. Well, I did it in grade 11.
Wow. Nerd alert.
Nerd alert indeed. A lot of dates in high school for this guy, let me tell you that.
I came through the same prestigious math program in high school as our producers. So yeah. Probably I sort of feel like, and I'm not gonna give out, you know, totals, but I bet between the three of us we did math 35 times.
No, not a trio of Cochrane Cobras. Cobras? Yeah, it's Cobras.
Yeah, you
right?
Got it.
John Bender.
Did you get
Cobra?
Did you get close enough to the athletic field to get the team name?
Hey, look. I was at every football game in grade 12. I was there.
Well,
we just covered I'm a nerd. Like this is not an offensive thing that Wes just said to me. I was very well aware. No, your mic does not come on. Who said your mic could come on? Okay, turn your mic on. What do you have to say?
He got you.
Burn. This says Cooley's on a two-way for the first season, isn't he? Yes, indeed. Two-year deal.
Yeah.
First year, two-way. Second year, one-way.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this. Not waiver exempt.
Correct. Not waiver exempt. And again, I think sometimes that can be slightly confusing a lot of the times. Took me forever to get this black and white in my head. Two-way contract versus one-way contract has zero to do with waiver eligibility. Waiver eligibility is based solely on time in pro hockey / NHL time. One-way and two-way, all that a one-way contract and two-way contract determines is your salary if you are in the American League. A one-way deal means your salary does not change. As in, if you're a $1.5 million player in the NHL, mm-hmm. you are also a $1.5 million player in the American League.
As Kevin Rooney was, as an example.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Or Anders Ericsson or
sure.
Wade Redden, so on and so forth. Two-way means that you make less in the American League. So, you know, especially on entry levels, say that your NHL salary is $775,000. Your AHL salaries around 80,000 usually. Like, it's a significant difference between NHL and AHL early on when you're on a two-way deal.
And I do think, and I'm just guessing on this, but I think that's one of the reasons you see less and less players accepting their qualifying offers is mm-hmm. they're trying, you know, we know the Flames have three restricted free agents remaining. They might be looking for a little more cake at the AHL level.
This says this is definitely the year they're going to have all three goalies struggle. Let them play through it, and hopefully they're better for it in the future, but helping their draft position too. And finally, Brad and Airdrie says, go Deef Chiefs. Indeed. Chiefs on the warpath. That was what we always said when we were
when we were in math at high school. Yeah, or in math when we were not grade 12. Yeah, for me.
You know what? What you're hearing is jealousy. I wish I could have skipped a level of math. I get you didn't skip it, but don't get in the way of my narratives.
Have you ever heard me do math on the air? I might as well have skipped all of my high school math.
Yeah, it's impressive.
None of it has been retained. Pat and Wes along with you this hour on Flames Talk. Hey, from the Golden Arches comes the Big Arch, the biggest bite on the menu, now available at participating McDonald's restaurants. 2-quarter-pound, 100% Canadian beef patties with no artificial preservatives or flavors, sourced from Canadian ranches and farms. The Big Arch is perfectly layered with 3 slices of white processed cheese, crispy onions, pickles, lettuce, slivered onions, and a new tangy, delicious Big Arch sauce. It's more McDonald's to love. Try the Big Arch today.
This is Flames Talk.
Paul from downtown makes a good point. If you did pure math 30 in grade 11, you still did grade 12 math. Yes, I guess that is true, but I didn't do it in grade 12.
Semantics.
Very much so. Kevin Woodley, our goalie guru, next on Flames Talk. And Shan has already passed his quota for time on the air on this program this season.
This season.
We haven't even got to the Young Stars Classic.
You're already capped out.
Yeah.
Love you, Shan. You're a very bright, young, talented boy. I'm kidding. Take a break. Kevin Woodley next on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back for another year on Thursdays is our goaltending guru. This hour focused on goaltending. So, of course, Kevin Woodley is going to be a part of that. Kevin Woodley joins us now. It's Pat and Wes on this Thursday edition of Flames Talk. Kevin on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline joining us from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com in Vancouver. Mr. Woodley, welcome back for another year. It's good to have you back, my friend. How are we doing?
I'm excited to get going. It feels like my season started a little early with all the news around goaltending here in Vancouver, but happy to sort of get to that point in the next couple of weeks where we start to see guys on the ice. Still debating whether I head to that prospects tournament up in Penticton, but it's Wes, you guys know it's that time of year. Finally, mm-hmm. After a long summer without.
Well, let me know if you do end up heading to the Okanagan, because I will be there. Make sure to see you in person and maybe get an in-person chat in with our weekly goalie guru, Kevin Woodley. And we will get to the Vancouver news, because that is, in terms of goaltending news, the Lower Mainland right now is kind of the epicenter. But we spent the first half of this hour, Kev, talking about Flames goaltending and the impending battle. And, you know, we've asked you a lot about Dan Vladar since the hip surgery. We've asked you a lot over the last year. Seems like every week we were asking you something about Dustin Wolf. Haven't spoken to you about Devin Cooley, though, since he signed. All reports are that at the captain's skates, the Flames are doing, he looks great. He looks dialed. I know the Flames are really excited about his potential. I'm just curious as to what insight you can give us on kind of what Cooley projects to be, because he's such a late bloomer, because he's on the scene later than a lot of guys are. Like, what are some of the actual expectations career-wise now for Devin Cooley, whether it be this year in Calgary or bigger picture?
Well, it's a bit of a tough one, because I think a lot of the things that excite everyone are just that, like their projections, right? Like, you see the size, you see the skill set. And for myself, it was getting to talk to him, right? Like, the way he approaches and thinks the game. There's a passion there for it. A real, like, when he learns new things, like, he embraces it, understands it. It's not just, yes, coach, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Like, he just seems to have a real understanding of the position. And as new things are introduced to him, the way he embraces those things, the way he goes about trying to learn how they apply to him and how best to apply them within a game. Like, not everyone's like that, right? Like, there's a lot of guys, frankly, that arrive earlier with a lot more pedigree and a lot more sort of, I guess earlier bona fides, right? Like, they're expected to be there and they can get a little complacent. Like, there just seems a real, real passion and joy for the position in Devin that I love. And listen, there are times on my side of things in my career where I've maybe overvalued that with some guys, and it can be a case where, you know, they're always looking for the shiny new object, the, you know, something new that can improve their game. And you can get caught kind of chasing change for the sake of change rather than, you know, really understanding your foundation. And yet through those conversations that I was lucky enough to have with him and through watching video with him, especially for the pro reads we do at Ingle, I didn't get that sense. Like the things that are introduced to him, like they were genuinely new to him in San Jose, and he understood how much better they could make him. I think a lot of those things will be continued with Mackenzie Skapski, you know, from a biomechanics perspective, from a, you know, body management and how you shape your body and how you sort of move into things perspective. I think there's also some tactical things that Skapski brings from his time with the Rangers and under Benoit Allaire that we've seen Dustin Wolf, even after his first season, we saw him take a step in his second season. And a lot of those were tied to the tactical, the positional awareness things. You know, you'll hear them talk about routes, you know, having, and I'm trying to remember the exact terminology, but basically always having one skate inside. If you were to draw a line from the post straight up the zone to the other set of posts, always having one skate inside that, like no need to get outside that, even for a guy at Dustin Wolf's size. So I think in Cooley's case, when you have that sort of, the late blooming part, the very specifics of the things he was looking to add, like it's not just like, oh, hey, I learned something new. That's cool. I think it'll make me better. But there are some specific things that at his size, I think will help him. And what I expect Skapski to sort of continue to build on that with, like, I think there's a lot of upside here. I think he's already, you know, I think he can be an NHL goaltender right now. The upside, if he continues to build, is can he be a guy who factors in as more than just an NHL goaltender? Like, can he be a guy with his size and his athleticism and, you know, that sort of understanding and approach that has starter potential? And we'll have to wait and see. But I think because of the tools, those things are all still possible. And that's what excites, I think, the Flames organization, their goaltending staff in particular. And it's what should excite Flames fans. Doesn't mean there's not going to be some more growing pains, and it doesn't mean he's going to get to that level. But I think at minimum, you've got a guy who can help you in the NHL for the next several seasons, and there's upside on top of that.
Kevin, we were throwing this around in our last segment, and I'm curious for your take on it. We're sort of trying to figure out which of the three Flames goalies, Dan Vladar, Dustin Wolf, or Devin Cooley might be facing the most pressure, might be feeling the most pressure going into training camp. Who would it be for you?
Well, it's I got to think it's probably Wolf. And it's interesting, right? Like, I feel bad. Like, you know, I feel like Devin Cooley, the pressure on him, like if it wasn't for all the, you know, how much we've, and I know how much they like him. But like we've added to that hype level right in this segment. So if there's pressure there, you know, like maybe it's, I don't know that those conversations exist otherwise. Right. Not to overplay, them too much, but you know what I mean? It just feels like I just created a bunch of hype on Devin Cooley. Right. So maybe that's not fair. But it's probably Wolf, right? It's gotta be Wolf just because the expectations are so high, right? They're just, the results he had at the American Hockey League, the story, his path from barely drafted to how quickly he's risen, the fact he's been the best goalie in the league that he's played in, what it was for four of the last 5 years, two in the Dub, first two in the A. I think that comes with a lot of pressure. And again, part of being Dustin Wolf and continuing to sort of rise up the ranks the way he has is an ability to deal with pressure, right? So it's not that I'm worried about it or worried about him impacting him. That's part of the position. Pressure comes with it. If you can't handle the external stuff, you're probably not going to be able to handle the stuff, you know, between the whistles and on the actual ice surface when the games start. And so you don't really worry about it. But from an outsider perspective, yeah, it's probably Dustin Wolf.
Kev, can you let's switch focus to what's happening in your neck of the woods. Vancouver goaltending news has been coming hot and heavy. It feels like the goaltending news cycle epicenter is Vancouver right now. What can you get us up to speed? Thatcher Demko, Artur Seelovs, and more. Like, what are we talking about when it comes to all these updates in Vancouver?
Well, I think, you know, the fact that Thatcher Demko is on the ice is a good thing. And so inherently, just the nature of this market, it would be the same in Calgary. First one to report that, that's a scoop, right? And so it gets a lot of attention. I don't, however, think that it changes the timeline that I presented the last time we talked. And that's that even if he's on the ice at training camp, he won't be a full participant. Him skating and him dropping into butterflies on open releases and pushing around from his knees and getting into a reverse on the post, like, there's a process here. And the fact that he may not be doing those things yet isn't cause for alarm. There's a recovery process. There's a timeline here. And I don't think that's changed from my information in terms of him being a full participant when training camp starts. But what that timeline normally looks like, assuming he has confidence in the joint to start pushing through the paces at full speed and adding those elements, and he continues to build confidence in the joint and the joint continues to hold up, then, you know, the start of the season, which was a question the last time we talked and still is a question. I mean, I had for NHL.com, Patrick Alvin told me a couple of weeks ago, they were hopeful was the word he used, about Thatcher being ready to start the season. But even skating now, and even with as much time as we have between now and the start of the season, it's not a guarantee. And Canucks fans that are upset, nervous about that, or take that as like something to be really upset about, like, I would think caution here is a smart move given how quickly he was back from the knee injury at the end of the season, how ultimately that contributed. I don't care if it's a different part of the knee that got injured, the joint, if you come back and are on the ice 3 weeks into a 4 to 6 week injury and playing 5 weeks into it, the joint's not fully healed, and that's likely what led to the second injury, right? So it's not about whether Thatcher is ready to start the season after 3 years of not making it through a season as a number one. It's about whether he's ready to finish, and that's the most important thing. And so being cautious early in the hopes that that helps later, to me, that shouldn't be something Canucks fans should panic about. Probably more something they should applaud. There's been a lot of talk about procedure. I do believe he had one this summer on that knee, hasn't been confirmed, certainly is the word in goaltending circles. And so again, with that comes more of a firm timeline. Like, people are like, oh my gosh, if he had another surgery. Well, if indeed that's the case, as I believe it to be, that's a positive, because you've had a surgeon in there looking at the joint. It's, you know, it's not, oh man, Thatcher's not going to be ready for the season because he's still being bugged by what took him out at the end of last season. It's something that's been fixed and healed, and now it's just a timeline to get him back to 100% and make sure when he hits the ice at full speed and in that butterfly and with all the explosive movement that he possesses, it's with the confidence that his body can handle it.
And then where are we? What's happening on the Seelovs front right now, and how does he factor into this conversation?
Well, I think he was on the ice today here in Vancouver, sort of, I guess, what they call captain skates, that informal,
yeah.
Like, there's like 17 or 18 guys back. Now, I didn't attend that one at UBC because actually it's the first one I think they've had at UBC. They've been at Rogers, is my understanding, to this point. So it hasn't really been something the media has gone to. So he was on the ice today, which what I think is a good sign, but I wasn't there to watch it. My expectation, though, is if he was on the ice, he was a full participant, because I know Thatcher, for example, the skating he's doing is at Rogers Arena and sort of behind the scenes. So if there was a serious concern here, I don't think they'd let him out into that type of environment at this point. It sounds like it's an overuse injury, and not using him in Latvia's Olympic qualifying play was more of a precautionary thing. In fact, he's been here, been looked at, and he's on the ice today. It tells me that, and even the Latvian, I think it was Artur Zerbe that said he'd be ready for camp. So I don't, that's more of a yikes. If Thatcher can't start, we sure want this guy to be healthy, and let's make sure we take all cautions to assure that he is, as opposed to this might be something that lingers. If they're worried about the latter, then somebody should be in trouble for letting him out on the ice today.
Right. Okay. Now, is Vancouver a team that might be looking for a little bit of insurance? Like, is this a team that should or might be dipping into the UFA market or looking at the PTO type route?
Yeah, it certainly sounds like they have been, and full credit to Rick Dhaliwal from Check Six Sports here in Vancouver, who has, you know, I mean, he leads all in when it comes to the scoop side of things. He was the one that broke Thatcher Skating. I believe he's reported that Kevin Lankinen, who, as you guys know, was one of my you know, buy high on candidates this summer, still can't believe he doesn't have a contract. I think he's better than about a third of the league's backups. And the report was originally a PTO, which matches with, you know, hey, we need somebody in training camp and preseason if Thatcher's not going to be ready. Sounds like they actually made him an offer, but it's a low enough offer that, you know, it's the kind that easily goes to the American League or at least on waivers, assuming he'd clear. And I'm not sure that interests Kevin Lankinen. He's an NHL goalie. So if their plans are to use him as insurance policy and then immediately as soon as Thatcher is back, they've committed to Shelovs as their backup, even though Shelovs doesn't require waivers. If you're Lankinen, you're looking for better options. They've been tied to Antti Raanta on a PTO. Ronta's a guy who used to profile like Lankinen, and the underlying numbers were fantastic, and then last year just the bottom fell out for him. Biggest thing to me there is health has been a factor. I know a lot of people have tied him to Rick Tocchet because of their time together in Arizona, you know, but based on some of the health related stories in terms of not being able to play or available at the last minute on a number of occasions, I'm not sure that's a good thing, especially for a team that is looking for insurance because there are health question marks. So Ronta's got the most pedigree from a PTO standpoint, NHL standpoint, if they go that way. But I know they looked at him as a backup option in the past, and it was definitely the health that scared them off. I don't know that it's something they're willing to look past this time. But certainly those are the guys with NHL experience. Martin Jones was a name that was bandied about here locally. But as I reported here at the time, and even though it hasn't been made official, can confirm Martin Jones is retiring. So he's not an option for anyone right now.
Martin Jones is a big name in this market thanks to his Hitman days. So that's a good piece of news there.
Yeah, no, he's I mean, my understanding is he had multiple offers on July 1st. I mean, some of the numbers don't always look pretty in the last couple of years, but all he's done is won. Did it in Seattle, did it when he was up with Toronto, had some good performances there. Obviously, he brings a calmness, a pedigree, an experience standpoint. There's a lot to like about Martin Jones still as a goaltender. And he's a guy that actually, interestingly, in the last 3 years, has kind of tightened up his game significantly with some of the work he's done in the offseason. I just think, you know, it's one thing to be on a two-way in Toronto when you're going between the Leafs and the Marlies and the facilities are somewhat shared in a lot of cases and certainly top class, regardless of which organization you're with, versus, you know, an offer that included a two-way clause here in Vancouver. It's a big drive from Vancouver to Abbotsford, and the facilities are nothing like what they are with the Canucks, even though neither has a practice rink. I'm not sure all the particulars on why he's made that decision, but my understanding is he made that decision early in the summer, hasn't skated since, and so it's unlikely he'll play again.
I was curious, you know, when you were talking about Kevin Lankinen and the PTO potential there in Vancouver, I'm curious, like, do you foresee PTOs for goaltenders becoming more common in the years to come? It's not something we've seen a ton. Like, do you think we'll be talking about this more often?
Yeah, I don't actually.
Okay.
And maybe I'll be wrong. Lord knows won't be the first time I've been wrong about trends. But a PTO for a goalie is a tough one because, you know, we all say there's too many starts already in the there's too many games in the preseason already. Like, let's just get going. But if you think it from a goalie's perspective, like, typically your number one wants maybe three starts, but not three games, maybe play the first half or the first period of one and then get two more starts to be ready for the start of the season. Your NHL backup wants similar. Like, you quickly run out of starts. And when you think about how low quality some of those early games are, and quite often if you're the road team, you're playing behind an inferior lineup against a superior lineup. And you could say, oh, well, that's your chance to stand on your head and make a statement as a goalie and steal one. But so much of what a goalie does is read off the players in front of him. Like, it's such a massive part of the game. And so if you're playing behind a lineup that does not resemble the NHL, guys that haven't played each other, guys that don't know the system, and it's willy-nilly, you can't trust your reads, especially as an experienced pro. Like, you know, there are times where you will anticipate something should happen, and those are the games where it just doesn't, and you end up looking silly, and it's like, well, that play should never happen that way. It just never should, because this guy's supposed to be here and he's not, and I end up looking bad. And so there's just such limited opportunity. I'll put it to you this way. Here in Vancouver, before all the news broke about Demko's health and Shelov's, like, there was the question, could Yuri Patera, who they've signed to be a three, like, is there enough upside there? Could he challenge Artur Shelov's? Because Shelov's doesn't require waivers and Patera does. And could he challenge for the backup job? And, of course, that's the story the team always likes to tell, is, you know, like, we've got a guy who's going to push and going to challenge. Mm-hmm. But the reality of the number of starts available is you just don't have an opportunity. There's never enough time in a preseason to really make a statement in the games as a goalie on a PTO that you deserve a job. So either they really have something in mind for you, or they're just using you as training camp fodder and an extra body, literally a target. And I think most guys will shy away from that.
Okay. So then where does, if you're looking to upgrade, or if you sustain an injury during training camp, I mean, how do you look at waivers as a way to try to potentially fill that void?
I mean, there's some great goalies on waivers every year. And it's gotten a little tougher because there are teams when they recognize they have one of those goalies that are willing to sort of eat that contract if they've got the cap space and keep them in the NHL. We saw that last year for long stretches. Especially with Buffalo and Detroit, who, interestingly enough, are in the same spot this year. But, you know, the example I would point to, and it's kind of ties to my Kevin Lankinen thing, because Lankinen, there's a reason I have him as a guy who's ready to pop in the NHL. And it's not because I'm smart or know what I'm looking at. It's the underlying numbers. It's ClearSight Analytics. And those same numbers told me that Charlie Lindgren, you know, two summers ago would be the best free agent signing. We'd look back at it 3 years later as the best free agent signing that summer, and now he's the starter in Washington making $1.3 million. Same numbers that told me Connor Ingram should be claimed off waivers and that's who Arizona, needing an NHL goalie, should claim, and now look at where his career has gone. So you can find, and Ingram's now the prime example of why waivers can actually help you as a team. Experience. James Reimer's probably going to end up on waivers unless Buffalo keeps three this year, because it'll be Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Devon Levi in the National Hockey League. So unless they're keeping three again, Reimer's available. And by the way, Reimer's adjusted numbers in Detroit last year were actually, like, I would say really good, but they were pretty good. Like, they were above expected. Put him in a better environment, and he'll put him in Los Angeles, and he would have had numbers like Cam Talbot, which is interesting to watch that flip-flop. In terms of Talbot going to Detroit and getting a two-year contract. So that's a name. There are other names out there. I haven't done a deep dive on sort of all the number threes, but you look at Detroit again, who are they going to move off waivers? Do they keep three again? Even if they do, Jack Campbell goes down. Now I understand, you know, all the questions around Campbell, but that was when he was making Edmonton Oilers starter money, right? Like, now he's on a reasonable contract. Could he help you if you ran into an injury? Would they put Billy Husso on waivers? They've been trying to trade him most of the summer, or he's been at least been available and on the market most of the summer. So, you know, names like that could end up on waivers. And then there's other guys, like I said, like the Connor Ingrams, Kevin Lankinen, and if he indeed signs and then doesn't end up sticking because a team, you know, like in Vancouver, if they sign him to the deal they'd offered and then put him down to Abbotsford, he's another option on waivers that, you know, could end up being there, you know, before the waiver wire sort of settles itself by the end of the season. So you can always find a decent goalie on waivers. Eric Comrie, I know his numbers were terrible in Buffalo last year, but I've never seen an expected save percentage. It was in the 850s. And if Comrie wins the job in Winnipeg, Kaapo Kähkönen is the other guy. Both guys on friendly $1 million a year contracts that could end up on waivers, you know, a month from now.
Well, and to bring it all full circle, Devin Cooley as well, as the who is not waiver exempt, could also be one of those names that's out there. That is an interesting potential conundrum the Flames might find themselves in a little bit later on in September or into October. Hey, great stuff as always, Kev. Really appreciate it. We look forward to having you on all year, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for doing this, man.
Yeah, sounds good, and I will drop you a line if I end up in Penticton.
Yes, please do. Thanks, Kev.
Thanks, guys.
Kevin Woodley on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline as we start to wrap things up this hour. Wes Gilbertson's on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. Thanks to Cam and Shan, our producers this hour. And this hour on Flames Talk has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Save 40% on a Halo smart lock and start unlocking your house right from your phone. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.